an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So there the word defile is just opposite of the purity. So what goes in is not going to defile a man. But what comes out of the heart of a man, and that is what it brings the defilement to the man's life. As we read in the book of Jeremiah, that man's heart is the most deceitful thing. And it is very difficult to control that heart. And now, it is without any difference. The Lord said, in the man's heart, these are all the things which are there. And if you see, and within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. So our thoughts towards the people are not filled with love and affection. But even sometimes when we think that we are filled with love and affection, those thoughts are not all the time inordinate. So that means there is a self-interest or different motives are all involved in the heart of a man. Then he also says, adulteries and fornications and murders. So if you apply these in a scriptural, spiritual principle, then whenever we are making friendship with the world, or our heart is more clinging onto the things of the world, then it is a fornication and adultery. There, or our thoughts are towards any other woman is filled with the different looks, then that is an adultery. Then he also said murderers. Then if you fail to love a brother, that is a murderer. Then thefts. That means then we are coveting something that from others. And covetousness, a thought that we need to have more than what we already possess, that is covetousness. It is not something what you don't have, or whatever the position you are in, if you want to even a little bit more, that is all coming under covetousness. And wickedness, deceit, then it is lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And most of these things are filled with many of our hearts. But even if you say that I don't have this, I don't have that, at least few of them we all will have. And that is the danger, and that is the condition of the fallen man's heart. But the Lord is looking at the purity in our heart, starting with our thoughts and our looks and our affections towards the people without any pride and the selfish motives. And we need to consciously exercise that one. And the danger of our heart is we have a very partial or biased minds towards people. So some we will exercise to be good and consciously maintain the purity, but towards some that we are not in a position to do that. And that is why all the time, without any defilement, maintaining the heart condition in purity is really difficult with our human effort. The portion which we read in the morning. So now the condition of the heart is here mentioned. And I don't know whether you experience any of these, all of them, or some of them. If we understand those things, then whatever is, when we come out of those things, and that is what the Lord is saying, that blessed are pure in the heart. Or when we are, or otherwise we are thinking that when I am saved, that I became a new man and everything is changed. Is it something like that? Anybody? Or still we experience some of these things being carried in our life after many years in the beginning and later on many years in our lives. Maybe the form may be changing from here and there, but the root cause of our behavior is stemming out from either some of them or few of them, or still most of them, that is the condition which we need to look into our lives.
So, brother, these are the nature of the old man.
Yes.
And so, again, going back to what we already have mentioned, that, you know, that is why the old man continued to bring out these things. Mm. So the purity the Lord is looking is completeness, not a little or here and there, right?
Yeah, that's right. That is true, Jay. What I'm saying is, when we don't recognize that these things are there, that is why my heart is not pure. We are not diagnosing the condition of our heart well. So that is what we need to understand. These are the things which defiles man, and we are not pure in heart if any of those things are still actually working.
Yes, brother.
And this is the heart is a part of the soul. And the soul consists of these three things. One is the heart, and the mind, or the intelligence, or the willpower. And that in that heart, which is deceitful, and it has the seat of all these things, which germinates all these things. And we need to be loving the willpower. Work of the Lord in us, then we will come out. That is what the Lord is interested to do in us.
All comes under mind, or comes under?
Comes under heart. The mind is intelligence and logic, reasoning, putting it in the decision-making process.
So sometimes the old nature, like whatever was there, sometimes I feel that it is gone, but then Lord brings suddenly that it is not gone yet. But in His mercy, through His word, He helps also how to either escape the situation, or if I fail also, then from His word, again He convicts and restores. So that is the difference. That was not there before knowing the Lord.
Yeah, that is you are able to identify and coming to the medicine. The Lord is applying and you are coming out of that condition of that heart when that was prevailing in a situation or sometimes over a period of time. That depends upon how you allow or how you entertain that particular state of our heart.
Uncle, yes. We cannot say that I have few things, I don't have the rest. Right? Because at one particular time and at some point of time your heart condition is with covetousness or something else. Other time, pride pops up. Yes. So if one thing is there, all are there included, right? It's not that, okay, I'm good at certain things. No, it's not like that.
It may be possible if those things are not showing forth, as some are very vivid or very explicit. Some may be in the back seat for a time. We don't, it depends upon person to person. So at a given time, it may not be all are showing forth in a person's heart.
Yeah.
But time to time, they will come up as long as we don't put all of them on the cross.
I feel more than the things which is very obvious things which are written, like fornication, wickedness and murders and all. These we think are big sins, which are very outwardly, very, very vivid for everyone. But more than that, I think the ones which are unseen one, like jealousy, like pride, we may not even show forth in external talks or anything, but sometimes internally we have that. It pops up, the old nature, which is very difficult for anyone, others, to even think that we do have that. But sometimes or the other, it does come. Even that is not good in the sight of God. So all these very obvious ones we may not do on a daily, on even in our lives, even to think of fornication, adultery and all, which doesn't cross our mind at all. But the ones which are from within, which no one can see except God, I think that that's more dangerous than the ones which are outside, because things which are seen outside, at least people look at us and we feel a little conscious of it and we can correct ourselves. But the things which are within us, in our hearts, which we think people are not able to see, we get away with it. So that's what God looks at our heart.
That is true, sister. See, one of the obvious things which we come across and I have experienced in my life was one thing is pride. So every one of you has got a different background in their, where they were born, where they grew up, or their education or the resources and different things we carry in our lives. And those things do continue to be with us in our talk and in our communication with others and all. And we may not notice that, but others will definitely notice that. And when one brother has, I heard him and also I met him a few times. And he told in one of the occasions, when we are talking to the other people, when we say, I don't do this in anything, that means you are manifesting that you are something very different.
Superior.
No, that is the pride. You may not notice that. You say, even the simplest thing that I don't eat, for example, the one thing what the Lucifer, the Satan did was, when he was one among the chief of the princes, but he doesn't want to be that. He wants to be above everybody. That is the pride, and it which brought him fall. So when we take pride in different things, very, very subtle, and I am different, and I can do this. And that is the most dangerous thing for us. And you draw a lot of satisfaction in that one, because you consider that you are separate, you are different, and you are superior. And then the fall will be soon followed. Then covetousness. The Lord gave us everyone to drink, eat, shelter, food, everything. But all of our hearts strive to add at least a dollar more than what we have. That is called covetousness. He is not talking about the poor man aspiring to be more, having a better life. That is also covetousness. So it is very difficult. The one who has not had enough and looking for something more. And the one who has more already, he wants to have still more. And that is the heart which the Lord does not like it. And that is very, very difficult for a man to maintain that. All of our human struggles we all enter in now. We all are there, already there. And every one of us, without any exception. And we already take pride what we have attained. And we already covet, entertain covetousness to have much more. Then obviously we fail to maintain the purity in our heart. None of us will say that I am done, I am happy, the Lord has put me in this condition. I rejoice in the Lord. The Lord will undertake everything for my life, in my life.
Brother, even spiritual pride is even more contagious.
More dangerous.
Yeah, it's even more like, you know, from a church context.
What is the problem?
Yeah, so it's like when we see a brother or a sister in a church context, we think that we have overcome certain things or we are doing better in the Lord. So even that's even more much more evil in the heart.
Yes.
the Lord said, wash the feet of, you know, each other. And he humbled himself to the point of washing their feet. So even the spiritual pride is even more so above all this, you know, and the Lord is looking for that humble heart only. And Sister Ruth mentioned about some of the bigger problems, the murder and all. The Lord even said, if you get angry, you have committed a murder.
Yeah.
Even if you have look at somebody with lustful eyes, you've already committed adultery. Yeah. So the pure heart is even much more deeper, and that's something which I don't know how to even attain it unless and until we are under his complete subjection of the Holy Spirit guiding us all times, 24/7.
That spring of every thought, that is the base of our, that is the heart, the bowl of every thought is lying in our heart. And when we exercise every day, and every thought which springs out of that heart, if it is not of the Lord, that we may really nip it in the bud, then that is a different thing. That means you are conscious of the purity of God's nature, and you are conscious that when you, if you entertain this thought, that you are bringing or breaking the relationship with holiness, with the Holy God. And when we continue to have that consciousness, the Lord will encourage that kind of a heart to come more and more to overcome these things in our day-to-day life. So, but when a thought comes, when we are just feeding that thought and working out some ways to make that as a reality in our life, that is the most dangerous thing. And the heart gets defiled, then corrupted and alienated from the continual relationship with God. Because our unholy, defiled heart will not be able to enjoy the fellowship with God. So, Book of John's Gospel, chapter 13. So, books of John's Gospel, chapter 13, I am reading from verse 5. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save, wash his feet, but is clean. Or the word there in the Greek is the same word, so we can put it, but is pure every bit, and you are clean, but not all. So now these are already knew the Lord, and it was the day in which he was betrayed, and the last night of his life here, and then the Lord has started washing the feet of the disciples. Peter said, don't wash my feet. But the Lord said, if I don't wash you, then if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That means part with me is to be in the millennial kingdom, or to see his face, or to be found in his presence. Not part in me. That is eternal life, which is a free gift. With me is in the glory, sharing the honor, and also to be the king with him to rule. In verse 10, he that is washed need not to save wash his feet, but is clean, but pure every bit. That means you are clean, but not all. So without washing, that purity will not come. So now in the about that one, Paul explains in chapter, what we read here is book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, washing of water by the word. So it has a connotation, or the example what Paul was using is from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of God, the most holy place, and outside there is an outer court where there is an altar, and also there is a laver. So every time the priest, when he wanted to minister, either offering a sacrifice or go into the holy place, then he has to wash his feet at the laver, then enter in. That means that work need to be done each time, wherever, whenever he wants to do the service to the Lord, or minister to the Lord. So that is every time he has to do that, wash his feet. If he does not do that one, with an unclean feet, if he goes there, then there will be some consequences. So to avoid that one, and according to the commandment of God, they would wash their feet and then enter into the proper places, whatever the ministry they are supposed to fulfill. So in the same context, he is saying that we need to wash, washing to be done. There also the Lord said, if I do not wash you, then there is no part with me. So the washing in our day-to-day walk in this life, whatever the dirt which comes upon or likely to come, or you have already seen, those all things to be washed off. So that washing will be done here, he said, by the word of God. And I'm reading it again. And the might sanctify and purify it with the washing of water, the word of God, by the word of God. So the word of God, and when you truly apply in a proper sense, it has power. Book of John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are of life, they are life. So the words which he speaks to us, and they have life, and they continue to cleanse us from all impurity or defilement as we walk in this life. And that is a continual process. When you read the word, meditate upon the word, you draw some promises, you are strengthened in your feebleness, and also the word brings to your attention, ministers to your conscience, that wherever there is a defilement or impurity, then that word also purges you when you allow it to happen. Because the word here, it is the words which I spoke unto you are spirit and of life. That life is also the resurrection life, the word which is used there. So that means it will quicken you. So it doesn't just pass by. Then book of John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 3. Now you are clean or pure through the word which I have spoken unto you. So here also it is what the Lord is saying. That means every time the way the priest washes his feet and cleans him, purify himself and enters into the his respective responsibilities, similarly in our day-to-day life, and that is what we ought to do before we beginning of the day and also end of the day, so that our conscience may be kept clean by the power of the word of God. And it is a regular process, we all need to allow that. Otherwise, we will continue to accumulate dirt. After a period of time, that conscience is becoming hard, and it will lose its sensitivity to understand or to sense the condition of the defilement in our, which is lying in our hearts. So we need to be carefully watching the condition of our heart and do that. Book of Psalms, chapter 15. So we'll read the whole psalm. It is not so many words. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. Verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out money, his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So David, though he lived in the Old Testament, he has the spirit of the New Testament. And he has experienced God in such an intimate manner, and in every condition of his life, whatever is prevailing, then he used to inquire with the Lord. The Lord communicated him because of his heart condition, which is pure. And he wrote this psalm, then consciously exercised that nature to stand before the presence of the Lord and to dwell in the tabernacles of God. So in the verse 1 we see the Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And that means that was his desire, to see God and to dwell in his presence all the time. And the same also he has expressed in Psalm 27, I have asked one thing of the Lord, that in all my life I may dwell in his tabernacles or in his house. So clearly conscious of the holiness of God and also his heart desire to be found in the presence of the Lord, then in the following verses he wrote about this. Then who can be there in verse 2? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. So that is the condition of the heart which required, if anyone wanted to be sojourner in the tabernacle of God, that means wherever the tabernacle moves, or you wanted to live in the holy hill of Zion, that means where the temple is or the tabernacle was laid to put there. Then three things. One is uprightness, then the righteousness, and speaking truth in his heart. So the uprightness is also called that holiness, or it is a separation from the world and surrenderance of spirit, soul and body. So that means that is the uprightness in the heart. So when every time that the holiness of God, when we are seeing, as Peter also said in 1 Peter, and God is holy, you be holy. And David in the Old Testament times that he exercised, that whatever is going away, that soulical condition, the heart which part of that soul, or the body which is enticing the soul to commit sin, and the spirit which is not, we don't allow the spirit to communicate with the Holy Spirit to come to bring everything under the subjection of him, and he was conscious in his heart. So his prayer must have been, Lord, bring all these three things in harmony with the heavens, and maybe they may be able to sense the power of the Holy Spirit to function in us. Then that worketh righteousness. So yesterday only we have covered on the righteousness. That means whatever is seemingly right in the sight of God, then continually learning to do those things. That is how he let Saul go 2 times. And also speaketh the truth in his heart. So many times between the truth, what we think, and what God considers, there is a difference. So when we are saying something, exactly what it is, what the Lord said, and what you are thinking, and whatever the correct way of putting things without changing anything, that is truth. But when we are speaking, though it is the same matter, but depending upon the interest on that subject matter, we tend to add something or delete something. And I just wanted to make it very clear. And when we are talking something, a subject matter, depending upon our heart interest on that matter, we try to mix something or add something, or we try to delete something if it is not that interesting to you. Is it true, or that is what I noticed in my heart? Is it something like that? You want to mute the mics so that.
Yes, brother.
Huh?
That's true.
That's true.
Yes, brother, it's true.
So that is what speaking truth is, what we read in.
Then you spoke in French, we couldn't understand that.
No, I understood Congolese.
Okay, that's Congolese, so we don't understand that. So Ben, can you say it in English, please?
Brother Ben.
Explain.
Yes. Yeah, you are saying something in... we did not understand. Can you say to us?
No, Salima was asking me a question. She didn't hear what you were saying, so I was trying to explain to her.
So now she has an answer?
I think so.
So let her speak.
Okay, come here. Oh, she's right here. Come on.
Okay, I was asking him because the part, this last part you said, so I didn't hear very well. I asked him what you said, so was explaining to me in Swahili.
Okay, yeah, we understood that part.
Okay.
You have an answer for that.
Forgot to mute our microphone.
No, it is... that is the level of purity God is interested to see in our hearts.
Yeah.
Extremely finding it difficult in my life. So not to mix anything, not to add something. That means anything which is connected to my own life, not to add or mix that truth and presenting the same thing. And that is what the Lord would like all of us to exercise. Then while speaking, then we also add our emotions to that. Make more people to feel sympathy, to draw sympathy of the people, or find pity in their hearts, or to make it more wonderful things in their hearts. That means you are seeking something, you have some interest in it. Then that is how you are trying to change the things. That is called in other forms, guile. That means there is something hidden in a man's heart to distort the matter and present it differently to gain something out of that. Then we can understand what is the level of the purity that the Lord would like to work in us. But if we really understand the condition which we are all in, then only it is possible for the Lord to make it good.
Uncle?
Yes.
I just wanted some clarification about the adding and subtracting.
Yes.
So in a situation where you are in a conversation with someone and they share something to you,
mm-hmm.
Would it be considered adding if, based on your history with them, based on knowing them, that you interpret what they're saying in a certain way?
If you do not seek any... you need to be noticed by doing interpretation. You are interpreting so that they may understand or you understand better. But are you seeking anything in that interpretation?
Seeking clarity.
No. You are thinking that you are presenting more clarity to them. But doing so, are you looking any recognition from the hearer?
Oh, no.
If you do not seeking that one, that is fine. But if you have any intention to make it lighter or weightier, and or you are seeking something in attention by saying in a more different way, that is all not truth.
So in a situation where you don't know if someone said something like in a light passing manner, or if they were trying to say something that's like, you know, with a double meaning or something that's offensive to you or something, and you don't know whether to take that light or heavy or how to properly interpret that. When you're relaying that to someone, if you use your own ability, your own interpretation on that, is it considered false? Because to you, it's true.
I'm not saying it is false, but it is not truth.
Okay.
So we don't know that what they said. And what they said, what they meant, since we don't know, then when you make it what it meant, that is different then.
Okay.
But then when we see that one verse, Book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 5. And these are a group of people who were raptured much before anything began or unfolding. And the character, the nature of them was in verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile. Or it is written lie. So a guile is something, it is not exactly lie, but it is something added to the truth and distorted or added or lighter, made it weighter. That is the meaning. With a different intention or self-interest involved in that particular relaying the matter.
Yes, I understand, Uncle. I was just concerned that I think it's very common because you're hearing through your faculties and you're trying to understand something that often when people say certain things that you interpret it and read between the lines and see what they're actually meaning.
No, if you wanted to clarify that matter the way you understood and it will bring benefit to them, but without you seeking any kind of a different opinion from the hearer, that is good. You can do that. But in your heart, if there is some opinion by relaying that matter, that is not right.
Okay. And maybe it's always better based on the verse that you shared to give the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. If they ask you, then you can tell. That will be your opinion that you are speaking truth in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. No
problem. Then you are not at fault. And what they said, you relate. And if they ask you, what do you think? Yes, you can say whatever you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh reproach or doing evil his neighbor. That doeth evil or is continually doing evil. That is what it is read. It is backbiting with his tongue. So that is also coming out whatever the Mark 7 in the heart condition. So it is one brother said like this. And I am a child of God. And all my brothers and sisters also children of my God, children of my same God, same Father. And since they are become the children of my Heavenly Father and God, and they became my brothers and sisters. When they became from the same family, and I dare not backbite and talk different things to cause reproach to the name of my Father. So it is in other places, and also in many assemblies, when we talk, started backbiting about brothers and sisters, and that is not coming of the purity of heart. And we are not actually recognizing what the loss which we do that by doing so. But if you have a different heart to accept them, to receive them, to love them, to restore them, to encourage them, that is a different part. Instead of doing so, we are trying to cause a reproach to the name of the Father. And when I consider my brothers and sisters in the spiritual real sense, and I need to, whatever I pray before the Lord about them, and same thing only I need to talk about them outside. So I can kneel down and pray for every family, every brother and sister. But after my prayer is over, after a couple of hours, I started talking wrongly about my brothers and sisters to other people. That means there is a duplicity in my heart. So that is not right.
Brother, the person who would speak ill of a brother or a sister to another brother or a sister, we should also should be that the person who's hearing it should immediately should stop. Otherwise, he in his heart also is trying to know more about
yes.
the other brother and keeping his opinion intact. May not say it, but his heart is not right because he is not correcting his brother from sinning. And at the same time, covering the other brother who is also being talked behind his back. Would you say that?
No, that is correct, Jayant. And when we are actually, first of all, when a person who should not ask or talk about the person who is not there in the midst of us, unless yes. you both have some common interest to restore the brother or talk to the brother together.
Yes. To,
but otherwise, we should not engage in such kind of an activity in the assembly life.
Yes. The concern is mutual to, with a burden to, for a brother or sister, and they are talking about,
yes.
then it is more of a concern that they may be able to pray together.
But if the other brother, so one brother may have a proper understanding, the one whom you are sharing for a concern, if that brother do not have that kind of a maturity to take it in a positive way, if he is going to be stumbled because of this act of another brother, then that will cause more loss. Earlier only one brother, now there are two people.
Mm.
So we need to be careful whom we are going to share, talk about the third person.
This, you know, even from a non-church context also is very important that we don't do that in a yeah, regular life with anybody.
Yeah. Then you see in a world where we are living, and not only in the assembly, in the outside world, the person what the Lord is interested to look a believer to be and to see him. And many times when I hear people, we don't notice any kind of a concern and how God looks at this whole entire matter when I am talking. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. So when we start loving the neighbors, and you can mitigate all these reproach and doing evil. And when you don't have any heart, then you don't have any problem doing harm to the one, some a brother or a sister. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt. So that means when you look at other people, those who are doing immoral, corrupt, if you are agreeing with them, then that is not a good heart, which is not acceptable. You are not doing, but the way you treat them or you consider them, that also matters to the purity of our heart. But he honored them that fear the Lord. So sometimes when we see people, those who fear the Lord, because of our own reasons, we do not honor. That is also not good. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That means he will never change his word. Whatever he said, that he will do it. And in the business and many times that we see, if we do not change it, then we will make big losses. Then quickly we will act upon it and do that. But the Lord continually protected of making that good, even if it is made loss to me. And that is, it is, otherwise if Lord not taught me, I would not have done that. But it is the Lord slowly making inroads in my inward part of the life, that how I need to act upon it and how I need to do that. And the Lord has blessed me because of that. So never to change the word and just abide by that. And that should be the hallmark of our character. We should be known as a child of God who will not change his word. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Taking reward is a bribery. So that means you are going to disturb something to have some advantage to you. So he said, he will not do that. And these are all our day-to-day regular exercises which goes on with all of us. So in the Old Testament, then what he did, you see this. And what Lord is expecting in us. Now we have the resource, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit both. And the Holy Spirit continues to influence our spirit to bring enlighten our hearts what is the holiness of God. And our soul, when it comes under the subjection of the Spirit through the power of the Word, it cleanses all the defilement. And when we submit our life, the spirit and the soul and the body, and he will continue to work, enlighten through the Word of God, then bring us into more and more light, a positive character building up. And before the end of our life, then he will prepare us and count us worthy to see him face to face. But people, we all need to be conscious of this. Otherwise, our character will not be built. Chapter 17, verse 15, Psalms. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I am awake with thy likeness. So the likeness is coming to the purity. And he said, when I am awake, that means in the resurrection of the dead, from among the dead, then I will behold thy face. I will see you face to face. The blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. So that was the confidence he enjoyed in his life. And David wonderfully put, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness when I am awake and I am with thy likeness. So when I am up from the resurrection with a glorious body, a changed nature, completely done perfectly, and I will see thy face. So when we are talking so much of our Lord's coming and his glorious appearance, our desire to be found in him there, then all these simple matters and everyday exercising of our life need to go progressively from step by step towards that purity of our lives. And those who are eager and consciously pleading the Lord, Lord, that you, I am willing to be transformed. Change the condition of my heart. Work in my life. Then the Lord will bless us. He is interested and he is very eager to work in us as we submit.